All right, let's take our Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 5 through 7. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us. Lord, thank you for your protection. Thank you, Father, for your grace in guiding us through this day and just helping us, Father, along the way. Father, we ask that you bless our time together tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us through the scriptures, that you would guide our hearts and our thoughts. I pray, Father, you'd bless the children, Lord. I pray that you would help them to learn the Bible lesson, to have fun with the games. And, Lord, we just thank you that we do have a place to come to on a Wednesday night just to be with God's people in the presence of God. Lord, sitting at the feet of Jesus, the Word of God, and Father, we do ask that you speak to us and guide us. Father, take away all distractions from our minds. Lord, things that happen today, things we have to deal with, Lord, help us just to be focused on you for this hour. And Father, I ask that we'd walk away being refreshed by the Word of God, being encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and obviously, Lord, being guided by you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, this evening I want to talk to us about a couple of things that we're called to do in this day and age, just like the church at Philippi was called to do. And the church, obviously, at Philippi, they were going through hard times and hardships, but they still had the joy of the Lord in their hearts. They were still being guided and directed by the Lord. And Paul, as he writes this letter, just encourages them in verses 5 through 7, really, to be patient in praying and waiting for the Lord while the peace of God dwelt richly in their hearts as it does in ours. I want to encourage us in the fact that we are on the winning side, that prayer is very important in our life, and we don't want to become faint-hearted, as Jesus even says. I believe it's in the book of Luke. I think I got it written down here, but in the book of Luke, Jesus just said that we ought to pray and not faint. And God wants us to be praying. God wants us to stay close to him. And in these verses, I titled it Keep Your Hearts, because our hearts are very important. Our hearts can lead us astray if we're not careful. Our hearts do need to be guarded. The Bible tells us because there is just false teachings in this world that can draw people away from the truth, can cause us to believe lies, cause us to doubt the Lord, doubt what he's doing. But obviously we serve a risen Savior who is all-powerful, who is mighty, who is all-knowing, and he knows every one of us by name, and he has a reason and a purpose for things in our life. But we want to continue following the Lord, continue growing closer to the Lord, as we see the day approaching, the return of Christ. And in these verses, I want us to see a couple of things that, number one, we're called to patience as a church. And when I say church, I'm talking about a body of believers. We are called to patience. So look at verse number 5, because as Paul writes this, let's back up to verse 1. It says there, as Paul writes to the church at Philippi, to the believers, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Right off the bat, he wants to encourage them to stand fast in the Lord, stand fast in the truth of God's word, stand fast in the faithfulness of God, stand fast in God's calling in your life, and again, that you are a child of God and you can trust the living God who is faithful. He says in verse 2, I beseech Herodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Again, right off the bat, he just wants to encourage them to be steadfast in the Lord and to rejoice in their calling and in their position in Christ, to rejoice in the victory that they have in the Lord. But now he goes in verse 5 and following, he says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Again, we're called to patience, patiently waiting for the Lord, being wise of the times that we're living in, not being ignorant, not turning a blind eye to what's going on in our world and country, but patiently waiting for the Lord, knowing that the Lord is in control. Again, as he writes to the church at Philippi, remember a couple of the people that are there. The Philippian jailer, who got saved on the night that Paul and Silas were singing and praising to God inside the prison cell. You have Lydia, the seller of purple. She became born again, as well as others that were there. So he's writing to people that, even as he says in verse 1, they are his joy and crown. I mean, he loves them, but he wants them to be steadfast in the Lord. He wants them to grow in their faith, but also to let their moderation be known among men that the Lord is at hand. The Lord is always at hand with his people. God's always moving in our lives. He's always working. But people need to see the Lord at work in our life. They need to see us following the Lord, trusting the Lord, lifting up the Lord in our day-to-day life, not just at church, not just during our devotions at home, but even in the workplace, among family, among friends, among those that we are around frequently. But they're called to patience, again, because, I mean, just, you know, I keep bringing it up, it's just where we're at in life. I mean, just the way this world is turning around, and specifically our country, just the way things are going in our country, just people losing their jobs, people losing their retirements, people losing all kinds of things, and it's just not going to stop because we live in a world that is not our home. The Bible talks about this, and over the next several Sundays, we're going to look at Revelation, we're going to look at Scripture in regards to things that are happening in the world and in our country right now. But when you look at Philippians, again, Paul believed that the Lord was going to return at any moment. And that's really the mindset of every Bible-believing Christian is, it could be today. And that really does need to be the mindset, because if it's not the mindset of the Bible-believing Christian that today could be the day the Lord returns, then what happens is we lull ourselves to sleep and thinking, well, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. Therefore, we're not consistent in following the Lord. We're not consistent in our prayers. We're not consistent in our devotions. And we just kind of leave it up to the wind when I feel like it, when it's convenient. But God wants us to live in a state where, you know what? I want to be ready for when the Lord comes, but not only ready for when the Lord comes, but be ready to resist the devil. The Bible tells us to resist the devil. Again, that's just not in the spiritual realm. That's also in the carnal realm, or the worldly realm, because the god of this world, the devil as he's called, obviously is working against God's people, working against God's word and against Christianity. He will not prevail, but he will do his dirty work, and you and I need to be wise. You and I need to be walking in the Spirit, and we need to be patient as believers while we are living among the lost that are looking for answers and looking for hope and looking for peace. Again, in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. Again, moderation could be defined as enduring graciously. Enduring graciously. There's a lot of people right now who are fearful. A lot of people who have uncertainties. A lot of people who are looking for answers. And we as God's people have to show them that by the life that we live, but also by the testimony that we speak to them as well. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We are not to be anxious or fearful with anything in this world. But we also should not be caught off guard because the devil is a master of confusion. He's a master of deceit, and he does want to deceive people. He wants to deceive God's people. He wants people to be fearful. He wants people not to trust the Lord and to doubt. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, you look at verse number 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So as we patiently wait for the Lord, we are to cast all our care upon him. Again, it's not where we just don't care and we're like, okay, put our heads in the sand like an ostrich and we just don't worry about it. No, because we're going to get to prayer where we are to be praying. We are to be fervently praying every day about everything. But as we patiently wait for the Lord, we also don't want to be gripped with fear. We want to cast the cares upon the Lord so that we can stand fast in the Lord, so that we can hold up the shield of faith to ward off the fiery darts of the devil, so that our faith will continue to be strengthened, so we will continue to follow the Lord, and we have to do it with encouragement. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, just in regards to casting our cares upon the Lord. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, again, as the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary on behalf of her being a virgin and will be with child, because the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will overshadow her, and that child that's in her womb will be the Son of God. In verse 37, the angel says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." With God nothing shall be impossible. So when you think back to Philippians, where Paul is speaking to the church at Philippi and says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand," as we endure graciously, as we endure by the grace of God, the things that are going on in this world, and specifically in our country, and even in our own lives, because a lot of things don't directly impact us, but they indirectly impact us. But when you think about casting our cares upon the Lord, again, it's really trusting the Lord that God will guide and God will provide. Because if you pay attention to what's going on and what's being said around the world and even in our country, it's going to get very difficult for the church. I think a lot of Christians are asleep in the fact that they believe that, well, you know, the rapture will happen before it gets bad for Christians, because in America, we have had prosperity. In America, we've had peace. We've had everything provided for us that we need, whether we work a job, or whether the government provides it, whatever. People have been lulled asleep that no hardships will come in our lifetime. But when you think about the other Christians around this world who have suffered persecution, who have died for their faith, it will come to this country, and it is quickly coming to this country, where the hardships will come. But God wants us to fully trust him, to fully rely upon him, to fully follow him, because he will provide for us. He will help us to be strong in the faith, but we do have to be wise in the fact that, you know what? I have to prepare. I have to prepare for the what if. I have to prepare my faith. I have to make sure that I'm ready to stand for my faith, because if you're keeping up with the news or any type of outlet, and again, you can't trust everything that's on the news. That's why I've got some Christian outlets that I listen to, people that you can trust or are telling you the truth and giving you the facts. And listen, I mean, there's a great purge going on in our country. I mean, you've got airlines that are losing people. You've got hospitals losing people. You've got police departments, sheriff departments, fire departments losing people. And when you think about it, what's going to be left if all the good people step down from their position? We have to be, and I say we as God's people, have to be ready to follow the Lord's leading in surviving and in, as Jesus even says, occupy till I come, being ready, again, to stand up for our faith, be ready to defend our faith, and to rely on the Lord with patience. Because what happens when difficulty after difficulty after difficulty just continues to bombard you? You end up getting weary of it. You end up getting to a point where you just want it to end, and what you don't want to do is give up on the Lord. You don't want to allow your patience to run out with God. You want to cast your cares upon the Lord, ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance, and expect that the Lord will help you. Look at verse 5 again. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Again, God's always working in this world. God's always working. God does not have his hand off the world. He is working. We see that all throughout Scripture. And even when you get into Revelation, God is at work. God has a plan. God allows evil to prevail for a while, but then he passes judgment upon that evil and he uses it to judge people. But as God's people, we can expect the Lord to help us, and his return is near. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And as we study the Bible, as you study the Bible and read your Bible, you will see just how the affairs of this world line up with Scripture. I'll probably, Lord willing, over the next several Sundays at some point, I'll probably get to the battle of Magog and Gog. Gog and Magog, which basically is China and Russia. And just how that is lining up, that battle is lining up to where those countries are going to come against Israel, just as Scripture tells us, as God has laid it out in Scripture. And again, it just reminds us that everything that is in Scripture, all the prophecy that God has given us, that's going to come to pass. We can trust the Lord, it's going to come to pass, but it's going to come to pass as God judges the wickedness of this world and saves his people. When you look at Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse number 5. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We know that God is with us. We know that he will not leave us. Go to Psalm 73, and that verse is often brought up in my messages because we need to be reminded of that. So if God is never going to leave us, then we don't need to leave him. Not talking about salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. But again, many will and have walked away from the Lord, not trusting the Lord. But we need to, and I say we as God's people, need to stay close to the Lord, relying on the Lord, following the Lord. And even in the days we're living in, draw closer to him. In Psalm 73, you look at verse number 28. But it is good for me, the psalmist says, to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Again, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. If you go back to Philippians chapter 4, and you look at verse number 6. Philippians 4 and look at verse number 6. So as we patiently wait for the return of the Lord, we are to be drawing closer to the Lord, being wise of the times, so that we can be praying about what's going on and praying for God's people. And even praying that God would even intervene. In verse number 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So while we patiently wait for the Lord's return, and we patiently are living, and as again, as Jesus said, occupy, but I wasn't just sit around and do nothing, it's actually being busy about the Lord's business. But as we patiently wait for the return of the Lord, he does want us to be encouraged in our prayers. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I still believe in prayer. I still believe in prayer. No matter how, I mean, again, think about the days of Noah. Jesus said that in the last days, it will be like the days of Noah, just as wicked. Wickedness and evilness running rampant, all kinds of things. And people were giving in marriage, marrying. I mean, they were just living their life. Yet Noah and his sons and their servants are building the ark for 120 years. They're building the ark, faithfully doing, because they know that at some point, at any moment, the wrath of God is going to fall upon this earth. And there was a day when God finally tells Noah, go into the ark. And only 8 souls go into the ark, and they go into the ark, and God shuts the door, and then the judgment of God falls through that worldwide flood that wiped out every living creature. Again, Noah didn't know when. He was just busy doing what God told him to do and building this ark and for the saving of the animals and anybody that would come into the ark, anybody that would listen, because the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. As he built the ark, he was preaching, telling people about the wrath of God that was coming. Nobody believed him. They thought it was a joke. They laughed at him. And you can see that really between the lines when you read scripture, because nobody went into the ark. Nobody believed it. All right? So when God says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. We don't need to be fearful about the times we're living in or about what's going on. But God does call us to prayer. God wants us to be encouraged in the fact that he says, be careful for nothing, that, again, we can cast all our cares upon him. We don't have to be anxious. We don't need to be fearful. We don't need to be forced into doing things that are against our will and against God's word. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now look at verse 25 through 26. Because sometimes people make rash decisions based on fear, based on the unknown, based on what they think at the split second is the right decision for them, which ends up being the wrong decision. We should never allow ourselves to make decisions based on fear, based on doubt, based on being anxious, but we should always, as we even looked at earlier, I believe it might have been on Sunday, but going to God for wisdom, letting God guide us. Letting God guide us and to help us and to allow us to have the peace that passeth all understanding. But God, again, calls us to be encouraged. Be careful for nothing. All right? Matthew chapter 6, look at 25 and 26. Jesus says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. Oh, is that the one I want? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in chapter 7. So Matthew 6. Verse 25 and 26, Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And Jesus is not saying, don't put food in your refrigerator, in your cabinet, don't buy clothes. But a lot of people, that's their stability. They get their stability as long as they have clothes, as long as they have food, as long as they have money. But all that can be taken away. Our reliance has to be on the Lord. Our trust has to be on the Lord. In verse 26, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet Heavenly Father feedeth them, and are ye not much better than they? Again, God does not want us to live in fear or react in fear. He does not want us to make rash decisions. He wants us to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He wants us to rely upon His wisdom that He gives to all men liberally that will ask of Him. And while we are patiently waiting and being encouraged that God will guide us and protect us and just guide us according to His will, He does want us to be consistently, constantly, daily in prayer over the things that are going on in this world. Again, like I said, prayer is very important. If you would go back to 1 Chronicles 7:14, in fact, go there, 1 Chronicles chapter 7. Nope, sorry, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Again, I still believe in prayer. In fact, I was praying specifically for somebody this week, and my prayer was answered and about their health. And I'm still praying for them. But when you just think about prayer, sometimes I think as Christians, as God's people, we select what we will pray for or what we won't pray for. The president of the United States still needs prayer. He's a wicked man, but he still needs prayer. And the Bible tells us to pray for those in authority, in positions, because the Bible still says in Isaiah, God can turn the heart of a king, the one that's in charge. He can turn a person's heart. So no matter how bad we see our government get, we still need to pray that God turns the hearts of those people and really towards Christ, All right? Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. And that might not be popular for some people because some people want to pray for the demise of people and pray for the death of people. Scripture doesn't say, but I just wonder, the people at Damascus, were they praying for Paul's salvation? They knew he was coming there. Because remember, when Jesus spoke to Ananias, Ananias said, he's come here to take us away. When Jesus told Ananias to go and lay his hands upon Paul, Ananias said, Lord, I've heard he's come here, you know, with letters to take us away. I wonder if there were some praying for his salvation. Because on the road to Damascus, he was gloriously saved. The Lord Jesus showed up to him, turned him around. I mean, he was full of hatred towards God's people. But again, the heart of a king, God turns it whithersoever he will, as the rivers are. God can turn anybody's heart. And God still tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, if my people, those three words, if, because you know what? What if we don't? Then God's not going to. The rest of verse 14 is contingent upon God's people praying. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our country needs to be healed. I mean, the fact is that Texas makes a law that it is illegal to kill a baby in the mother's womb. It gets overturned, and they're told by a higher court, you can do it all the way up to 9 months. Our land needs to be healed. Now, we can sit around as God's people and complain and say, well, I've been praying about the abortion for years and years and nothing's been done. It just keeps going on and on. And then we're not praying by faith. Praying is leaving it in God's hands, knowing that God, the judge of all the earth, shall do right. But we're called to pray. We're called to pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. When you look back at Philippians chapter 4, God calls us to prayer. In verse 6, be careful for nothing. All right? Don't allow yourself to be full of fear or anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Don't lose sleep over everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We're told all throughout Scripture to pray, to cast our cares upon the Lord. And God desires to hear our prayers. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. God desires to hear your prayer requests. In Hebrews chapter 4, and look at verses 14 through 16. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, I mean, God desires to hear from us. He desires for us to pour out our heart to the Lord, whatever it is. I mean, a prayer is simply asking God. Supplication is pouring out our heart, our passionate desires to the Lord. Think about Hannah. When Hannah went to the temple to pray because she had no son, she had no child, and she had a heart's desire to have a son, to have a child, she poured out her heart to the Lord asking God for a son, but what was in her heart came out of her mouth, and she told the Lord, if you'll just give me a son, I'll give him right back to you. She just wanted to be a mother. That was her heart's desire. And she asked God, who was the only one that could answer that prayer request. Because obviously she was barren. Her womb was closed up. She couldn't have children. But God opened up that womb. What I want us to understand is that God still believes in prayer. God still believes in his children coming boldly unto his throne and asking for help and pouring out their hearts to the Lord. And God will, as long as we with that mix it with thanksgiving, God will hear your prayers and God will answer the prayers according to his will. And we can walk away like Hannah, not sad anymore. Because remember, the Bible says that when she got done pouring out her heart, she walked away and her countenance was sad no more because she left it in the Lord's hand. She cast it all upon the Lord, knowing the Lord would take care of it. Again, there are things in this country that are out of our control, but our prayer life is in our control. What we do is in our control. So I want you to look with me. Look at Luke 18. Luke 18. So God wants us to continually to come to his throne, asking for his help, pouring our hearts out to him. In Luke 18. But see, and here's the deal. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are yet without sin. Jesus was tired. Jesus was fatigued. Jesus had people just constantly after him. But he never sinned. He did everything right. I mean, think about even, before I read the verse, think about when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he was going to be betrayed. The Bible records that he prayed, and while he prayed, he sweated. And the sweat from his forehead was blood. He was praying so hard and so earnestly that blood vessels in his forehead burst, and blood was already coming from our Lord and Savior who would pour out his blood for the sins of the world. What I'm saying is, the Lord knows what it's like to be under such pressure when you pray. And the Bible says in verse number 1, Luke 18, verse 1, And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Always to pray and not faint. He goes on to give the illustration of a widow who came to an unjust judge in a city, asking the judge to avenge her for some things that was going on. And at first he wouldn't do it, but she kept going to him, kept going to him, kept going to him. And finally said, you know, I better just do what she wants. Otherwise, she's going to weary me at her coming. And Jesus uses that and basically says, how much more will not your heavenly Father answer you? But there's times where God wants to know if we're even serious, if we're even serious about what we're praying for, if we're even serious about what we're praying against. Do we really believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Sometimes God will test us. But again, prayer is asking God. And supplications, if you go back and look at Philippians, all right, because he mentions, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer is asking God, all right? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, you may just have to turn one page back, but Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So praying always. And he says supplications. Again, that supplications is our passionate desire, our heart's passionate desire. All right? Look at, time's sake, look at Acts 16. It just seems like the time always flies. So Acts chapter 16, look at verse 23 through 26 in regards to when we pray, pouring out supplications to the Lord, which is our passionate desire from our hearts. Again, we can pray and ask God, but there's things that really weigh upon your heart. It may be the salvation of a loved one. It may be the return of a prodigal child. You know, there are certain things that are near and dear to our hearts. And God, that when we pray for those things, that's our supplication. We ask God for certain things, but then there's other things that are so near and dear to our heart. We pour our hearts out to the Lord on specific things. In Acts chapter 16, you look at verse 23. The Bible says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. This is Paul and Silas, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Again, you know this account. Paul and Silas, beaten for their faith at Philippi, cast into prison, but it didn't matter to them that their backs were bleeding. It didn't matter that they were in prison because there was something in their heart that drove them in the next verse, in verse 25, to pray and to sing. Their focus was on God and not on their situation. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Their heart's desire was that people would get saved. Their heart's desire was that the Philippian jailer would get saved. The other prisoners would get saved. They're praying and singing at midnight. They know that they have been mistreated unfairly. They know they have been beaten unlawfully. They know that they are in prison and they should not be, but they take that opportunity to let their light shine before men. And really the only way to do that without being focused on how you feel is to pray to God, because then your focus is on God. And then you pour out your heart's desire. Paul's desire, we know everywhere he went, was for people to be saved, for lives to be changed. And guess what? When they prayed, and the Bible doesn't tell us exactly his words that he was praying, but obviously it must have been pleasing to the Lord, because in verse 26, God causes an earthquake. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, and God shook the foundations of the prison. You know the rest of the story. The Philippian jailer gets saved. There's other in his household that gets saved, I believe, because that was Paul's desire. That was his heart's desire, that God would take his situation and use it for good. And that's Romans 8:28, which Paul wrote as well. Romans 8:28, for all things, you know what? Go to Romans 8:28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I mean, Paul writes that. We know that all things work together for good. So Paul knew and Paul wanted God to use his situation for God's glory. And God used it. And Paul and Silas, they got out of prison. They saw others get saved. And again, their heart's desire was that God would be magnified and God would be glorified. Again, in Philippians 4, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So always remember, we always have to remember to thank the Lord for our situations that we're in. Thanking the Lord that, you know what, it's a great opportunity, God, for you to show yourself great and mighty. That was God's opportunity in Paul and Silas' life while they were in prison. As they prayed and they prayed, they praised God, they glorified God. They made light of the situation by letting their light shine in that prison. And God was glorified. And because God was glorified, God showed up in a great and powerful way. And that should be our heart's desire. That with what's going on in our country, that we would pray that God would show himself great and mighty. That men's hearts would be turned to the Lord, that people would make sound decisions, that God would protect those that are standing up for their faith, and that God would again get all the glory. Look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. Again, this is why prayer has to stay the main focus in all of our lives. Because prayer is what keeps the right focus. Somebody once said that when we work, but when we pray, God works. I mean, we can do things in our own strength and our own ability, and it might work out, it might not work out, and there'll be a lot of struggle because we're trying to do it, or we can pray and let God handle it. Again, you know Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 is where Daniel has found out that the writing of the law has been signed by King Darius, that no one can pray for 30 days except to him. Anybody that's caught praying to any other god or any other person for 30 days other than King Darius will be thrown into the lion's den. Verse 10 shows the heart and the trust and the faith of Daniel, and it should be a reflection of our heart as well. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Again, never wait until there is difficulty to start praying. We need to always be praying and thanking the Lord for what he's doing in our life and what he's provided. But when we're praying specifically because we know that there's hardships, because we know that the church is being fought against and God's people are being fought against and will be fought against, because, like I said earlier, those that are being forced out of their employment right now, it's not going to stop there. If they get their way, they will go after the church to try to shut churches down. Because that's just the way the world works. All throughout Scripture, the world has fought against Christians, has fought against God's church, okay? And why I bring this up tonight is because we need to be encouraged that God is in control, that God hears our prayers, and while we patiently wait for the return of the Lord, we want to be found faithfully following the Lord and faithfully standing upon God's promises and faithfully leading people to follow the Lord. And prayer is a big deal. If we stop praying and stop seeking after God, then we cannot expect God to intervene. We can't expect God to help us individually. All right? And when we do, when we follow these verses, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Again, don't ever forget that the Lord is coming back. And it could be today. It could be this week. It could be this month. It could be before this year is out. And we need to have that mindset. You know what? When the Lord comes back and the church is raptured out, that starts the seven-year tribulation, because after that, after the church is raptured out, as the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, when the Holy Spirit is removed, then the Antichrist is revealed. And he makes a pact. He makes a peace treaty with Israel like none other. So we know time is short, but we still need to be praying, and even praying that if it be God's will, that God would tarry. Tarry until more people are saved, until we can finish our course, whatever it is the Lord wants us to do, all right? Knowing, you know, God has a time, all right? But we can still pray that God would intervene even in our country and hold some things off. In verse 17, we can do it all with the peace of God in our hearts. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So all of this, and we have the peace of God ruling in our hearts, helping us to be at peace, helping us to be just not fearful, not being led astray. And God is the one that gives this peace, and the peace of God. The peace of God should rule in our hearts. How was Daniel able, again, to go home after knowing the law was signed that he could not pray to anybody for 30 days? How could he knowingly go home, not be afraid to open his windows and let people see him pray like he had always done? That was his routine. That was his prayer closet, opening up the windows facing the direction of Jerusalem and praying to God three times a day. He knew he would get caught, but he had peace in his heart because he knew that God would protect him. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to King Nebuchadnezzar when they were faced with the fiery furnace, our God is able to deliver us from you, from the fiery furnace. But then they said, but if God chooses not to, because God knows what his perfect plan is and his perfect will is for us, he chooses not to, we're still not bowing. They were determined in their hearts, and they had peace in their hearts that God would take care of them. And we know God took care of them. And you know God takes care of you because he's taken care of you from the moment you put your faith and trust in him. He has watched over you. He's provided for you. And there has been times where you've had this unspeakable peace on the inside while other people were falling apart. Look very quickly at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse 16. Now the Lord of peace, as Paul writes this, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. I love that. The Lord of peace himself give you peace always. He is the God of peace that gives us peace. And when we seek him in prayer, we get that peace. When we cast our cares upon the Lord, he gives us that peace because we know that our life is in good hands. We know that God will take care of us. Last place I want you to look is Psalm 18. All right, God gives us this gift of peace in Psalm 18. You and I have to guard the peace that God gives us. And David shows us in Psalm 18 how to guard our peace. Because again, we have an adversary who wants to steal our peace. He doesn't want us to be peaceful. He doesn't want us to have peace in our hearts. He wants us to be like other people, afraid, worried, anxious. But God wants us to walk in peace as we have the peace of God dwelling richly in our hearts, but we have to guard it by doing what David says in Psalm 18 and verse number one, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. David just roughly acknowledged, God, you're my strength. He says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Verse number two shows us how to guard the peace of God when we have it. The Lord is my rock. It means I'm trusting him. I'm standing upon that firm foundation and my fortress. A fortress is a place that's invincible. You cannot enter into it. You cannot destroy it. And my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. How can I have the peace of God dwelling in me richly at all times? By running to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is our high tower. Prayer is our fortress. Prayer is our strength, our buckler, because when we pray, again, we're praying to God. We're praying to the one who has all power. We're praying to the one who has a protection around us. And we are trusting that God will do his will. We're trusting that God will protect us and guide us and give us the wisdom that we need and help us to stand and help us to follow faithfully after him. So again, as we see things just unfolding in this world and even in this country, we're not to be afraid, but we're to be wise. We're to be praying. We're to be seeking God to even turn the hearts of those that are against Christianity, whether they're in government positions or whether they're family members. I've got family members that are not saved. I've even got one that used to be my sister-in-law. She's not anymore. But she is a devout atheist. I mean, just hatred, and so much that she won't even show up to any family functions because she doesn't like anybody in the family. What I'm saying is that we still have to, as God's people, be wise of the times we're living in, but seeking God daily for his direction, even for him to intervene in our country, intervene in our lives, and to help turn the hearts of people to the Lord before it's too late. But also, again, praying for those that are standing up for their faith and even praying, Lord, help me to have that boldness to stand up for my faith, that I'm willing to lose it all because I know you will take care of me. And sometimes, it's easier said than done. Sometimes, we, as a whole, as Christians, I'll do anything. Right? That was Peter. I won't deny you. But he wasn't trusting the Lord. He wasn't leaning. He didn't go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to, and I say I won't, but you've already warned me that I will, so Lord, would you help me not to? Because I don't want to. We still need the Lord to give us that strength, give us the grace, and give us the faithfulness to follow him and to stay close to him. And let me encourage you, stay close to him. Get closer to him like you never have before. And keep drawing close to him. And just let the Lord guide you. And again, be ready to help somebody else. Be ready to encourage somebody else in the Lord that may be, teetering between being fearful and not trusting God, knowing, I know I can trust God, but we've always got to help someone know that, you can trust God fully and God will take care of you. But again, we have to have that peace in our heart as well that, I believe exactly what I'm saying and I'm walking what I'm saying. Some people can talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk. Let's walk what we're talking, right? If you want to put it that way, let's actually live our life according to what we believe that Scripture says. Let's have a word.